Alvin York, the sharpshooter from Pall Mall, Tennessee. Alvin York is one of the great American heroes during World War One. He's kind of an unusual gentleman for a hero. Born in 1887, Pall Mall, Tennessee, very poor area. Received very little formal education. There's one story that talks about how his first book he ever read was about Jesse James when he was about the age of 20. Worked on the family farm, which was not easy in that area of Tennessee. And as he grew up, got associated with a bunch of the gentlemen his age, teenagers, young adults. And they would go to, of course, in Tennessee, some of the counties were wet, some of the counties were dry, so they would go to the places where, you know, on the border of the counties, have some moonshine, some alcohol, get in the fights. He carried a knife. He carried a pistol with him. Some people talk about how that he also ran liquor from wet counties and the dry counties and so forth and so on. One thing we're sure of is that he learned how to shoot from his father. That part of the country, one of the things was very highly prized, even going back to the days of Daniel Boone, was being a good shot. Of course, that determined how well your family ate in many cases. And in the case of Alvin York, he was also an excellent shot. And of course, the family weapon is a black powder long rifle, not your standard weapon that you're going to find in modern people using, but a regular old black powder weapon. And what you would end up doing at this particular time is they had shooting matches all over Tennessee, and you would go out, try to make some extra money or win some food. The general method of the shooting matches was you either had a target that was set off at 150 yards and you just shot at it trying to get bullseyes. Another more interesting method of target practice was to set up a wall about 40 yards in front of the shooter, and a silhouette of a turkey's head would pop up every so often, and the object was to hit the turkey's head. At any rate, he continued doing his moonshine running for a while, but eventually got religion. A local itinerant preacher came in. He began to attend church. Became quite a changed individual. He was in the process of dating a girl there that he met at the local church named Grace Williams when World War One broke out. He then, when he went in to register for the draft, tried to claim conscientious objector status. He was torn between being an American and thou shalt not kill. But unfortunately, the church that he attended was not considered on that list, so he was put in eligibility for draft and drafted. The unit that he was put in is a rather unique military force. It was the 82nd Division in World War One, which is called the All-American Division, which was made up of people from all over the United States. And he eventually came to the point that he was probably okay as long as he really wasn't in charge. So it's actually Corporal York. You know, we always refer to him as Sergeant York, but that's a promotion that he actually gets after what he becomes famous for. The famous moment for Alvin York occurred on October the 8th, 1918, in the Argonne Forest Campaign. His unit had been sent to take out a German machine gun position of over 30 machine guns. And they had captured some prisoners, but in the process of doing that, they'd gotten out in the open and come under fire. And the commanding sergeant and the next corporal above him were injured and unable to function. And so he took over and single-handedly starts reducing these German positions one by one by one. It absolutely exasperated the Germans. He would move into a position, and then he would pick off the people bit by bit with his rifle. And then he would move to the next position. And at one point, a German officer and five other men jumped up out of their position and charged York. York's rifle misfires, jams. So there are these five guys coming at him, all of them shooting. He coolly pulls his .45 caliber pistol out of his belt and fires six shots and kills all six men. Now, that in itself is pretty good. when you consider that he shot the last man first and the first man last. So in other words, of the six guys running at him, he shot the one farthest in the back, then the next farthest, then the next farthest. So the last person he shot was the officer in front. At which point, the rest of the German troops said, no more of this. We're surrendering. There was a German major somewhere behind him who emptied his pistol at York, because York thought somebody was shooting at him from behind, but was not concentrating on that. And the guy had missed him every shot. And in the end, we have 132 Germans surrender to York and his platoon, and he killed 25 men. Now, there's some discussion about this number. The smallest number I've seen is 20. Almost every other source puts it at 25. There's the Military History magazine article entitled "Sharpshooter from the Hills" by George Larrabee that has 25. My World War One book called "Heroes of America from World War One," which is written in 1919, says that he had 25. But some people, there's a couple of articles later on that say it's 20. Still a pretty good day's work. Of course, he's given the Congressional Medal of Honor. He's given the French Legion of Honor. He is he's promoted the sergeant when he comes back to the United States. He's given a ticker tape parade. He then marries his sweetheart, Grace Williams. The governor of Tennessee officiates at his wedding. Now, they wanted to do a movie of his life at that time, and he didn't think it was right to do that because people had been killed. But eventually the movie was done in 1941, when we're in the process of just about ready to get into World War II. And he had two stipulations to have the movie made. One was that he was the movie historian, so that they wouldn't manipulate the facts. The second thing is he wanted his favorite actor to play him, which was Gary Cooper. And it is a fascinating film. If you have not seen Sergeant York with Gary Cooper, check it out and look at it. It's a little boring for the first part of his life, but you know, it picks up at the end. When World War II broke out, he went in and volunteered. He's 50-something. I think he's 54 years old at the time. They appreciated him, said no. He offered to create a special unit of Tennessee soldiers. There were 5,000 Tennessean soldiers who were called 4F, that they were unfit for service because they couldn't read or write. And he said he could train them and lead them into a unit because they were great shots. It never really came about. They did put him in the some capacity of training, but he never became active duty, dying years later. So, and if you go to Tennessee and you go to Nashville, okay, go down to the Capitol building. Everybody goes to Opryland and all the other places. Go downtown to the state Capitol building. There's a monument to York, along with monuments to Andrew Jackson and several other great Tennesseans. But the York one is really neat. It's a giant bronze statue of him putting his rifle to his shoulder, shooting. And he's supposed to be protecting the state of Tennessee from attack. And a lot of the people say that they have him pointing his rifle at the wrong direction, that he really should have it pointed at the front of the Capitol building to shoot the crooked politicians. That's a story that one of the local politicians told me about. The weapon. The other thing is, not very far from the Capitol building, it's a block or so away, is the Tennessee State Military Memorial. And that museum has all of Alvin York's material. They have his uniform on display. They have his everything associated with Alvin York. Here in Kansas City, we have one of the greatest World War I museums in the world, but we don't have anything with Alvin York. As the curator from this museum said, you may have the best museum in the world in World War I, but without Alvin York, you're always going to be incomplete. So stop by and see that. And don't forget to come by SumaHistorica.com, my website, and look at some of the other podcasts that I've made to see if anything else interests you. Thank you.